This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. The North Carolina shoreline is more than 300 miles of constantly shifting sands. Counting sounds and estuaries, the state has around 3,000 miles of coastline. It's one of the most dynamic ecological systems in the world and a huge tourist draw. But challenges come with those benefits. Sea level rise, geological changes, and increasing and intensifying weather events are just a few of the realities facing those who visit, work, and live on our shores. In part one of our series, The Changing Carolina Coast, environment reporter Dave DeWitt looks at how communities are planning for the rising seas.
North Carolina's most recent sea level rise report is the product of decades of tidal gauge data, computer modeling, and hundreds of years of collected scientific expertise. But John Britt doesn't need all that to tell him the water's getting higher. He just needs to look out his back door.
If you look out to where that extended breakwater is, it helps protect us against the storms. The beach was probably beyond that, probably maybe 20 feet beyond that. This little hut that we're standing in right now, it used to be a long way to the water.
The only thing keeping the Currituck Sound from flowing into Britt's house is a short bulkhead built into the sandy ground along the shore. His parents live next door. On the other side, he operates his business, Norbanks Sailing. He was born in the Outer Banks and has lived in Duck for more than 30 years.
If sea level rise is connected to the level of water in the sounds, yes, it's happening. Because the same water that was a certain depth out there years ago is a different depth now.
Duck, according to the Science Panel report, could experience the highest sea level rise on the North Carolina coast, as much as 11 inches over the next 30 years. A previous report that looked out over the next century was even more ominous, more than 3 feet of rise. Stan Riggs is a geologist at East Carolina University and a member of the science panel that wrote both reports.
Sea level's rising, and we have half of some of our counties at 1 foot above sea level, and the shorelines are receding because of these storms, and people are building dikes, and highways are going underwater. I mean, that's serious. It's right now.
If the now sounds pretty bad, the future could see more dramatic changes to the coast, says Todd Miller, the executive director of the North Carolina Coastal Federation.
There's been discussion that Pamlico Sound could become Pamlico Bay, more like the Chesapeake Bay.
That means the barrier islands would break apart and the ocean and its accompanying storms would move into the sounds virtually unimpeded. That scenario would dramatically change almost every aspect of life along the coasts and sounds, decimating tourism, commercial fishing, and agriculture, among others. In addition to the rising water, the land in northeastern North Carolina is actually sinking, a geological phenomenon called subsidence. Oh, and here's one more. The ocean along Duck's beaches is notoriously angry. Bill Berkmeyer is the former director of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Research Pier in Duck.
We tend to get bigger waves up north unless there's a hurricane coming up from the south. So we know sort of how the waves vary, which are the primary force moving sand around are the wave conditions.
On a normal day, a few inches of sea level rise won't change those waves enough to notice. But when a storm comes through, like Hurricane Irene in 2011, all of those factors come into stark reality in places like Duck, a thin ribbon of sand surrounded on both sides by water. On the ocean side, high waves dislodge sand and slam against the protective dunes. On the sound side, because there are no inlets on the northern Outer Banks, it's like a bathtub, with high winds pushing all the water from the Pamlico and Albemarle sounds into the thinner Currituck Sound. In other words, right into John Britt's backyard.
It took out the boat ramp, it took out the pier, it did significant erosion. The bulkhead held, but it scoured out a great deal of stuff on the behind it, did a lot of damage.
Next door to Britt's Norbanks Sailing business, beyond the line of catamarans and wave runners for rent, a new house is going up. As the economy rebounds, smaller houses are getting torn down again, replaced by larger rental properties. And those rental properties draw visitors, and that's what drives the economy on the coast, says Willow Kelly, the government affairs director for the Outer Banks Association of Realtors.
When you got people from other states coming in and spending money in your state, not circulating it within your state, but bringing new dollars into your state, tourism is a wonderful economic development engine, and our coastal communities are tourism. I mean, tourism is our golden egg, so to speak.
In Dare County, there are more houses than full-time residents. That's a lot of vacation rental properties, and it's the job of town managers and planners and lawmakers to figure out the balance between the economy and the environmental realities. Back in Duck, town manager Chris Layton says that balance is never far from his mind.
The reality is that in any of these things, your mitigation efforts and your preparation is going to be limited by how much you're willing to spend.
And as of now, the state of North Carolina has no plan to spend anything on preparing for sea level rise. Following the release of the latest science panel report, Frank Gorham, the chair of the Coastal Resources Commission, directed state staff not to look at what economic impact sea level rise could have over the next 30 years.
In our report to the legislature, we're going to say, because we are not recommending a specific policy, we can't do an economic evaluation.
Gorham favors leaving sea level rise policy up to local towns and counties. The earliest the legislature could get involved is next year, but it's likely an already skeptical General Assembly will follow Gorham's lead and punt the issue back to coastal communities. That means town managers like Chris Layton will be under enormous pressure to evaluate the research and try to find resources. And while he says Duck isn't ready to give up anytime soon, he is realistic.
It's quite likely that, you know, at some point, the ocean and the sound may connect. Not being a doomsayer or anything, but if that were to happen, you know, Duck as a, you know, as a town entity may not have what it needs to survive.
That's tough to hear if you've lived in Duck your entire life, like John Britt. But coastal folks are resilient, and living day to day is a way of life on the Outer Banks.
I mean, it's been a part of our lives growing up down here since I was born, and I don't worry any more now than I did before. Yeah, it's Mother Nature. We'll see.
Across Highway 12 from Britt's house on the ocean side, the town is about to begin construction on a multi-million dollar beach nourishment project. It's a coordinated effort with Kitty Hawk and Killdevil Hills to the south. It's one of the most obvious and expensive ways towns on the coast are quite literally trying to hold off the rising water and hold on to their property, their history, and their purpose. And we'll take a closer look at those efforts tomorrow when the changing Carolina coast continues. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.